Good morning, WQBX audience. It's great to have you with us today. It's Sunday morning, and it's our time together to talk about what is happening in the churches throughout Central Michigan. And it's always our honor to be with you to have this half hour where we can share from different ministries. Some of them are parachurch ministries outside the local church that are serving in our community and doing wonderful things, and we are so grateful for those ministries like Hope House and Love Inc. and some of the other ministries in our areas, all the food pantries that are going on right now that are really helping people that are going through struggling situations. And we're just so grateful for all those different ministries that are happening. We're grateful for what's happening at the Cove at Parkside Assembly, working with people that have dealt with addiction. So a lot of incredible ministry that's going on in our community that's beside the church. And then there are great churches in Central Michigan that we're just excited to be a part of that family. And we're looking forward to the opportunity that we have to talk with one of those pastors who's right here from our local community in Merrill, Michigan. And he's been there for a couple of years, has a great church and called Merrill Westland Church. And so we want to welcome to the program today Pastor Tim Morris. Welcome to our program, Unscripted.
Hey, good morning, Richard. Looking forward to it. Yeah. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, so a couple of things I wanted to you to talk to the audience about. One is sort of talk about your journey here to ministry to bring you, you've been at Merrill now for how many years?
9.5 years.
Nine and a half years, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's been quite a journey. I'm 32 years in ministry now.
Yes.
And but I came from Traverse City. Was in Traverse City total ministry time, almost 20 years.
Wow.
And so quite a transition.
Yeah.
From hilly, water everywhere, Traverse City to Merrill with this farmland everywhere. So, and flat.
And flat, so, for sure. Yeah.
I used to say we're the church in the cornfield, but it really depends on the year.
Yes.
And the cycle. This year was soybeans.
Right.
In one field, and the other one right behind is corn. So we'll see what the year has for us.
You know, we were talking about before the program how that every week Merrill Westland Church proves that where you're located at is not necessarily why people come to your church, because you guys are like way, you're north of M46.
Almost 4 miles. Chapin Road, north of 46.
Yeah.
We almost consider ourselves kind of a regional church.
Yes.
We've talked a few different times about changing the name just because we have so many people from Midland, from Saginaw, from, you know, Hemlock, Wheeler, Breckenridge, even a few from Elma. I mean, it's, we feel like we're more of a regional church.
Yes.
We're 4 miles north of 46. We're almost closer to Midland than we are Saginaw, although we're in Saginaw County.
Yeah, and I know that I've shared this with you before a few times especially when I first came out there, you drive and drive and think, am I on the right road?
Yes.
Am I heading the right direction? So, I mean, but no, it's such a, and God has really blessed you guys with great facilities out there, and what you all are doing is absolutely amazing. And I would totally concur that you're a regional church for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of our focus. I mean, if you put a map out of where people are attending from right now, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
But, it's a great location to be for people to Midland to still be able to come to.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel that far. Freeland, not that far.
Yeah.
I mean, I say our church location, we're 25 minutes away from anywhere and everywhere.
That's funny. Yeah. So the I just think it's amazing, you know, you leave Vacation Wonderland up there in Traverse City, where everybody thinks about going for the Cherry Festival and
yes.
everything else, and move south to Farmland USA with
yeah.
Merrill, Michigan.
That's only because God calls you
yeah.
to do something. I mean, we had been in ministry there for 20 years.
Yeah.
15 years at one church location, and worked at the hospital up there, which is a whole nother thing. Great opportunity, but just felt God called us back into full time. It was bivocational the last 5 years there
okay.
in Traverse City. And just felt like God's calling us down here.
Yeah.
So wherever he leads us, that's where we go as a family.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about your family. Who's in your family?
My wife, Candy, we've been married for 35 years this coming June.
Okay.
We have 4 children, and we have 1 with us, 2 in Indiana, 1 in Traverse City, and 3 grandchildren with a 4th. Possibly before this is broadcast,
wow,
we'll have our 4th grandkid in the, wow, area. And then my mother-in-law lives with us here in Merrill.
Wow, that's awesome. So we just came out of our conference with Jay and Laura.
Yes.
And so thank you, Merrill Westland, for hosting that. But I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things that you are looking at this new year, and you're thinking about. I know you guys have an amazing VBS program that you do.
Yes.
Annually.
Yes.
You do some things with, it's the timeouts that they...
The release time Bible
release
classes.
Release time Bible class. Talk to us, yeah, a little bit about that.
Yeah, let me just say, first of all, what I loved about this conference was we did it as a ministerial association.
Yeah.
And I don't know that any of our churches would have been large enough to do this on their own,
right,
and host this conference. So
sure,
it's a huge blessing,
yeah,
to us to be able to do that. That's one thing about I love about my relationship with you and with the Ministerial Association. I've got a lot of close ministry friends.
Yes.
None of us feel like we're in competition with one another.
Right.
Or in fact, if a ministry, if a person doesn't fit, they feel like, yeah, I'm not so sure about this. Hey, go try Richard's church. Go,
yeah,
to,
yeah,
Amazing Grace. Go, you might suit better over here, and so I love that about it. So ministry at Merrill Westland, we just had Release Time Bible yesterday.
Okay.
And so that is once a month. We go and bus kids from Hemlock Schools and from Merrill Public Schools.
Okay.
To our facility for, they get out of school for an hour, and they do a Bible teaching and a Bible training from our children's minister, Pam Hales. And so we had, yesterday was down a little bit. I think there were 91,
okay, wow,
kids,
that's awesome,
from, well, the two different school systems.
Yeah.
And so that goes on October through April.
Yeah.
And then we'll do that again next year. Our Vacation Bible School is always the last week of July. And it is just really good. We used to have a Release Time Bible school teacher, Uncle Bob.
Uncle Bob,
if anybody,
right,
grew up in this area,
yes,
and went to a church, you may have had conversations with Uncle Bob at some point. I think 53 years in that ministry area.
Okay.
And so, but after he retired, we took over doing that ourselves. And so,
okay,
Pam coordinates all of that as well. Great last year. I think we had 108 or 109 kids come to our Bible school. That happens, mm-hmm, in the mornings. And just a great opportunity. We love our youth program there. Our youth pastor's actually been here much longer than me.
Yeah.
Our youth pastor moved here in 1991.
Wow.
And he's been coaching track and cross country at Merrill Public Schools since 1991 or 92.
Okay.
Still does that as well. And so I love our Sunday night. A lot of churches don't do anything on Sunday night,
right,
anymore. I love our Sunday night because we have a marriage group that meets at our church. We have an adult group that meets at our church. And we have from kindergarten all the way through high school,
wow,
meeting in our facility. So Sunday nights at Merrill Westland is a lot of vehicles, a lot of traffic, and a lot of growth happening in there. So, and then we basically do small groups throughout the week in,
okay,
different locations and different demographics.
So now your service is on Sunday or what time?
9 a.m. is our traditional service. We,
okay,
have that in our sanctuary. Organ, piano, most everything out of the hymnal. And at 10:30 we have a full band and do praise and worship music, modern praise and worship music, and the same message in both,
sure,
both sections. That's in our family worship center and activity center. That's where we just hosted the conference. And
right,
so we've got a lot more space in there. And
just went through, you guys just, your church just did a major renovation on the older sanctuary, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah, it was one of those unplanned renovations. One of those ones you don't want to
surprise,
have to do.
Surprise, right? Yeah.
But we had about half of the truss system almost was failing in the back half of the sanctuary.
Wow.
And we're like, okay, if we're going to have to replace this, what is our best case scenario? How do we want to, what do we see 10 years from now? What's our best use? We needed more youth space. Youth was really tight.
Yeah.
And so basically we shortened our sanctuary back to the original length, which can do about 130 people in that. We gave the back half minus the hallway space to get to the sanctuary to our youth, increased their space by about 60%,
okay,
70% from where they were, and then took that space back, reclaimed it to our dining room. So we do utilize that this weekend for the conference. We see about 80 in that dining room area,
okay,
at any given event. And so we're just thankful for the space. We're out in the middle of nowhere. When people come out there, they're like, why is this facility even here? And how is it here? So we got into a program and said, if we're going to have to do this in 15 years, then let's replace all of the roofs. And let's, if we're going to have to take out a loan, let's do this and do it right and anticipate what we have coming up. And
that's
so
awesome.
So we're thankful. God's graced us with the facility. When you look at that, the church is over 100 years old. And we look back, that everything is built now. This is on the foundations that have been laid for generations.
Was it just last year that you celebrated 100 years, or was it
actually 21?
21, okay.
Yeah, 3 years ago now.
I'm still sort of in the COVID time warp, right? Of when, where are, what year is this?
I understand.
I remember you celebrating it.
We celebrate, I mean, everything that they've done. You go to the history of the church and go, they wanted a church there. They had a camp meeting for 2 weeks, asked the guy if he'd be their preacher, started the church, went and bought a church from Freeland.
Yeah.
Took it apart, brought it with horse and buggy out to the location, and built the first sanctuary. I'm like, you know what? My generation, yeah, we would not do that.
No.
It's like, sorry.
Right.
I'm not doing all of that work for that.
You know, it amazes me here in Central Michigan, Pastor Tim, the moves of the Holy Spirit that have happened, like with the church starting there. One of the ones we came across here just recently was that in 1915 in Alma, Michigan, that there was a revival that took place. And in 1 week, they had 9,600 people come to this revival in 1915. And they have pictures of it. I put some of it on our Facebook page. And it's so amazing, because this it was an evangelist that came in, and they actually built a facility, a big barn, that they could do this. It's right where across from the Church of God, and it was right where the Chinese restaurant is.
Okay.
Whole block.
Okay. Yeah.
And they said that it wasn't just one church; it was the Church of Christ. It was the, you know, the Westlands, it was the Methodists, it was all of them, and they all came together, all these people, and you just see this massive building, and all these people that came to Christ in that building, and the impact. And then just one day, the evangelist said, you know, we feel like we're done with what we need to do here, and close the meeting up. And that, and then took, and they sold the building for $600 and tore it down, and somebody rebuilt it somewhere else. But
wow,
you know, just to know,
that's amazing.
I know, because, you know, just to know that in Alma, that this actually, I've been here almost 32 years now. I've never heard anyone ever talk about it. And
I've never heard
that. Or this story in Merrill, I have never heard that either. You know, this move of the Spirit that happened there.
Yeah, 2 week tent meeting, and hey, would you be the pastor? So
okay,
And there's so much more of the story that I can't share. They're just like, what? It has to be God saying, yes, you're the pastor of this church, after some of the things that happened.
Just amazing,
Just amazing that he's there, and some of the founding families are still there, part of the church. In fact, our oldest member that had been there since she was a baby passed away a few years ago.
Oh,
she
was
96.
Okay.
So she was only four. The church was 4 or 5 years old when she was born, and was still attending.
Well, God can move anywhere, can he?
Absolutely.
I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's on 46 or in Alma, Michigan, or you know, or down off the road and off Chapin Road out in the country.
Well, like you and I were talking before we started recording, it's not about the location. It is really people and relationships. And I think that's where we've got to get back to. COVID kind of pushed people away and pushed people away relationally, and we're just going to watch online. And it's so much more than attending a service. What happens when you go to church is about encouraging one another and building one another up.
I just was reading an article this morning, actually, that talks about one of the keys to living a long life is your social network you're a part of. If you're isolated, if you are, you know, you have people that you're connected with, we're all going to go through tough times, and it makes it a lot easier to go through those tough times if you're surrounded by people of that, you know, like in a church, that there are people that love you, care about you, and they're going to pray for you and speak, you know, speak God's word to your life.
Absolutely. And I was just thinking about when God said to Adam before he made Eve that it's not good for man to be alone.
Yes.
I don't think he was just talking about marriage.
No, I don't think so.
He was talking about relationships.
Yes.
We were made for a relationship, horizontal and vertical, with him.
Absolutely. Now, one of the ministries I wanted to talk a little bit about that you have, I know you had this one up, is Grief Share.
Yes.
You guys have talk a little bit about what Grief Share is.
Grief Share is a 13-week program. You get together anybody that's lost a loved one. Some of them are as recent as 2-3 weeks. Others are maybe even 10, 11, 12 years, but they feel like they're still stuck in this grief cycle.
Okay.
And never really progressed. So it's a national program that we've partnered with. There's videos. Every week is a 13-week session. Every video stands alone, though, so if you miss one, you don't go, well, now I'm not going to go back because I missed what's built on. It's not like a class that you build on previous foundations.
Okay.
Each one is individual. There's a workbook that goes along with it for not only for that day, but then through the week for you to kind of journal along, or you to kind of answer some questions, look at some scripture. It's scripturally based, so it's based on principles from the Bible.
Okay.
Professionals from around the United States are all part of that video, as well as a video of other people that have gone through the program, that have gone through what you've gone through. And so, and then you spend some time conversing if you want. The big thing about Grief Share is if you want to come here and not say anything, but just take in and listen, that's fine.
Okay, great.
No one's forced to talk. No one's forced to, well, what about you? You haven't shared. I never say that. And so it's a safe place.
Sure.
And now with online, once they've come to the class afterwards, they can get online and watch that video again as many times as they want to. And so this is our fourth session of Grief Share. We do it in the fall and in the spring.
Okay.
In the fall, we do it on Wednesday nights. In the spring, we do it, winter, spring, we start the end of January, we do it on Thursday nights.
Okay.
To give people a couple different options. And people, what they discover is not only it's helpful, it helps them progress forward in their grief and not get stuck, but it is meaningful in the relationships that they actually develop if they choose to do that with others that are going through something similar. So it's not... Grief Share is not about I'm grieving the loss of a job, I'm grieving the loss of a dream. It's a loved one that you're grieving. And some people, when you hear their stories, and they lost 4 or 5 loved ones in a 2.5 month period or a 3 month period, and get overwhelmed with what's going on. The big key is everybody grieves differently. And there's no, I can't hand somebody, this is your steps. This is what you do, and this is how you progress out of it.
Right.
Because everybody's path is different. Everybody grieves differently. That's why spouses quite often can get frustrated with one another, because they grieve differently at different paces and in different ways, and they think the other should grieve as they are grieving.
Right.
Why aren't you feeling what I'm feeling right now? Because there's no direct path to grief. But there is hope, and there is healing, through Jesus Christ. And so the ministry has been a great opportunity to reach into the community. A lot of people that come are not from our church, and that's the goal. It's to minister to our entire community.
Yeah, and I love the point being that not everybody grieves the same way.
Yeah.
And it is a challenge. I remember when my dad passed away, that my sister-in-law got very upset at my brother because and came to me and said, "You need to talk to your brother. He's not grieving." He's,
yes.
You know,
yes.
Well, she's crying. She's, you know,
yeah.
And he's not.
Yeah.
And I talked to him and basically said, you know, she's concerned you're not grieving. He says, "I am grieving.
Yeah.
This is how I grieve.
Yeah.
And so I'm okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm doing just fine dealing with this." So, yeah, it just the way our family has dealt with grief and then what we've watched with other people that we've had to deal with grief. You know, some people grieve for years. I mean, it's hard to believe, isn't it?
That, yeah.
But they'll grieve for years over a situation that happened. And, you know, you tell them everything. They wouldn't want you to continue to grieve like this and all that other stuff. But that still doesn't heal the hurt.
No, and it's that different length of time as
yeah.
well. And sometimes when we look at how somebody grieves, we can look at that and say they're not grieving or they're not grieving correctly. And honestly, there is wrong ways to
yes.
try to grieve. And
yeah.
quite often we try to push away the pain.
Right.
I'm not going to grieve because I don't want to allow myself to feel that way.
Right.
But many of us get pushed right back into careers, jobs. You got to get right back into
sure.
this no matter what's going on in your life. And so they give you tools and coping ways when you're going back to work. But you're like, hey, am I going to hold it together? And you give yourself permission to grieve before work and say, I'm going to give myself permission not to grieve while I'm at work. But when I come back, as soon as I get home or whenever,
wow.
I'm setting aside a time to grieve, to cry if I need to cry or whatever. And they give you managing tools and ideas and just kind of really helps. And every fall, we also do Surviving the Holidays, which is a grief share, because
yes.
when people come up to especially Thanksgiving and Christmas, or they come up to their anniversaries, there's different things and different cultural expectations, different ways you
sure.
used to manage Christmas, how you used to do Thanksgiving with that loved one gone, it's different. And so it's another, just a 2-hour session that anybody can come into, and we always offer it free. That's our commitment as a church.
You did a Blue Christmas this last year.
We did a Blue
year.
Christmas service for the
yeah,
first
what
time
was that?
This year.
What was that?
It was a service for those that are grieving.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we come into Christmas, and everything's a holly jolly Christmas. And we just seem like everybody should be doing fine. And at those times, someone who's grieving can really feel isolated.
Right.
Because they don't feel like they can share with somebody what they're really feeling, what they're going through, because it might bring their Christmas down. And they can also have a tendency to deal with anger.
Right.
How can you be so happy and jolly when this is going on in my life? And so that was just a time to come. This is a somber time, just like grief share. You can participate or not.
Right.
We had scripture. We had special music. We had just thoughts about grief and processing through that. This year we're going to have it on the 22nd, which is the longest night of the year here in the Northern Hemisphere.
Okay.
And so it's like, it's okay to cry. It's okay to not be happy, holly jolly. And then we did a time at the end where they could come up if they wanted to light a candle in memorial for their loved one
yeah.
that they are thinking about this Christmas. And we, for our first time, and it was last minute. I tell you, I felt moved to do it only about 2 weeks before we did it.
Right.
So there were two announcements, and I think we had 57 or something come to it.
Wow.
On a Tuesday night, last minute offering, and there was probably 20% of those people were from our church.
Wow.
And so we're just planning on doing that every year. We think it's a need.
Yeah.
And to give somebody the permission to go ahead and not be holly jolly
yeah.
at Christmas time and to feel like they can come and gather with people that are feeling similarly to what they're feeling.
So it's not just, the kinds of people that would come would be grieving not just about a spouse maybe, but you might have some parents that lost children.
And at that service, it's any kind of grief. They
okay.
may be grieving a loss of job.
Yeah.
They may be grieving a loss in their own health. Maybe they got a diet. So there was one that just gotten a recent diagnosis of cancer.
Right.
And they're just in the beginning stages of what is this going to look like? Or
right.
how does this mean? And is this my last Christmas?
Right.
That was honestly one of their questions.
Yeah,
and
that's
so,
tough.
So that's a any kind of grief at all. And we'll do that each year. You can find them, you know, if you're not in this area, you can find Blue Christmas services. Different organizations do. I don't know how they run theirs. Ours is Christ-centered and focus on the hope that we have is through Jesus.
How would, if someone's listening, they want to get connected with, do they contact your church or is there a specific website?
Yeah, if they want to go to griefshare.org,
okay,
they can put in their area code and then find classes and groups that are meeting near them that they can meet anytime. They can go to our website, Merrill Wesleyan, so two R's, two L's, then WESLEYAN.com.
Yeah.
And they can go to our website and get the link from there as well.
Yeah, and I just encourage our listeners, look, if you're struggling with grief, don't struggle. Don't fight through it alone. There's people that do care, and especially if you're in the central Michigan area, it's not too far to go to get to become a part of that. Did you just finish a set of 13 weeks, or you're...
No, this is week three. It was going to be tonight, but our policy is if schools cancel where we're at, then our events are
canceled. Makes things a lot simpler.
So we don't have it tonight. So Thursday night's at 6:30, and it's about 2 hours long. But I encourage anybody to come. It's really no cost, and we'll give you the book. And join us. They can register online at our website or at griefshare.org.
Okay. Now, Pastor Tim's a great Bible preacher and does a tremendous job. And your messages are available online.
Yes.
Right? And they go to the Merrill West website.
MerrillWesleyan.com, and you can look at online services or past messages.
And a map of where the church is.
You'll need that. You know, basically, between Hemlock and Merrill, a mile east of Merrill, Chapin Road is, turn right and go forever, and you'll find us on the left-hand side.
What have you been preaching on recently?
Just finishing up a series on stewardship.
Okay.
So we talked about stewardship for anything from, most people think that's finances.
Right.
That's an aspect of stewardship.
Right.
But Sunday, even though I preached on the stewardship of life, I was talking about the sacredness of life. I began by saying I could actually preach on the stewardship of life in multiple genres.
Right.
Because I just spent a week away, 4 days away with God, where he kind of took me to the woodshed on how I'm stewarding my own life.
Yes.
Am I being a good steward of my time? Am I being a good steward of my health? Am I being a good steward of my relationships? All of these areas.
Right.
God really looks at us to be intentional about how we live our lives and how generous we are with other people and so on. So that's kind of where we're at. We've got today Jay and Laura LaFoon speaking.
Yeah.
As they're wrapping up the conference. They're talking about marriage today, and then we will be in next week heading up towards Easter because we're already...
I know, it's amazing, isn't it?
Close. Easter's the 31st, if you don't know that.
Right,
of March.
Yeah, Well, we were laughing because here we started Lent and ended up with a huge snowstorm
at
the beginning of Lent. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's Michigan. That is Michigan. Well, that's awesome, and thank you so much for taking time to be with us, sharing a little bit about what God's doing in your ministry. And we just encourage you, Merrill Wesleyan is a great ministry, and we love the team that's there, and Pastor Tim and Candy that are there, and just what they're striving to accomplish in God's plan for their ministry.
Yes.
And so check them out. Go online, check them out, or you can go visit their services, and you still have time even in listening to this broadcast, because Jay and Laura are going to be there, and it's 10:30, so you've got time that you could get over there if you wanted to. But thank you for joining us. Now, next week, we're going to be right back on here. We're going to have an exciting guest that's right out of our community that's going to be sharing. We're really looking forward to that, continuing to communicate unscripted, not really with a plan except to talk about what God is doing. And that's exactly what we did here today.
He is on the move.
And he is on the move in a great and powerful way. God bless you. You have a tremendous, tremendous week.